show 6-2. Thank you, sir. What's your name, sir?
Evan
Avery. Okay.
Avery.
Avery. Okay, here is
Avery, by
the way. Do you have a Mr. Neal?
Yes.
Get on over, Mr. Neal. We'll conduct your hearing, sir.
If I have yesterday's name, you will hear me.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record? Okay, you reported 4811 of executive tenancy this afternoon in reference to your committee supervision revocation. I believe these are board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. It's my right to have an honorable way to notice. To my right, we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, and to his right, the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also, today we have Mr. Turner, who's from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office this afternoon. The prior to this hearing, you received an application for advisory on this board hearing. Do you have that form, sir?
Yes, sir. Abbott.
Okay, on that form, you're notified you're right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a license attorney at your own expense. Do you have an attorney or are you representing yourself today? Okay, so at this time, I'll swear to you, Mr. Turner, and so you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do yourself a favor.
I do.
Okay, so I'm going to ask that you speak up a little bit, we can...
I do.
Okay, well, there may be a volume on that phone that needs to be adjusted too, we'll see. Okay, here we're going to conduct in two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your committee supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether the committee supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, we will have a limited one allegation that's on your board, and I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. The allegation is a violation of the order of conditional supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to be at your approved residence for a scheduled face-to-face contact with it on February 14, 2018, and verbally directed on January 25, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
I was not avoiding supervision.
Okay. So, you say it's false?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to, we're talking about the law in there. Okay, since you... So I'll ask Mr. Turner to go over the allegation at this time, and then we'll discuss it. Mr. Turner?
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 1/25/18, the offender reported to the parole office for a scheduled face-to-face contact visit. Prior to leaving the office, the offender was advised that his next contact visit would be at his approved residence on 2/14/2018. The offender failed to be at his approved residence, approved address on 2/14/2018 as directed. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. Follow-up, while at the offender's residence on 2/14/2018, this officer spoke with the offender's father slash sponsor, stated the offender was at work but could not provide any details about the offender's job. A reporting instruction letter was left at the offender's residence directing the offender to report to the Tucson parole office by 2/16/2018. The offender failed to report as directed in the letter. On 2/16/2018, this officer spoke with the offender's sister out of Ames. He works contact. She did not know the offender's whereabouts. She stated that her parents told her the offender was no longer living at their address as of 2/15/2018. On 2/16/2018, this officer verified the offender was hospitalized at either St. Mary's or St. Joseph's Hospital. On 2/16/18, this officer verified that the offender was not incarcerated at the Pima County Jail.
Okay. So Mr.
That was you, yeah.
I was in the other.
Yeah, was that false?
Well, first, my sister and I really wanted to talk to her. And I went to the office the day that I met with him. I told her specifically that I had two jobs. And sometimes my job, my first job, I would get up till 6 o'clock and I go to my second job to work around the evening, like, around 9 o'clock at night. That's when I get up to the shop. And he's like, fine, so he didn't prove that. Well, he knew that I had a job because when I talked to him, I was taking the day, he said, he went to the location and I told him. So let's see if I was there. It wasn't around.
Okay. All right, so I'm gonna move this forward and we'll have a little more chance to discuss that in the second half of the hearing, okay, phase two. So at this time, I'm gonna move, based on the information number 2018-0511, the information of the department question, I'm gonna file a list of that. I mean, the board was delinquent as a violation of Trump's digital supervision that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in criminal matters of the company.
Second.
Agreed.
Moved by myself, seconded by Mr. Kimmerer, and moved by Dr. Knight and Mr. Johnson. So we're going to move to phase two in a moment. And before we move, Mr. Kimmerer is going to give some background information. So stand firm. I'll be right back with you. Kimmerer.
Yes, sir. Mr. Alegria was released from ADC custody on 1-5-2018 and arrested on 4-4-2018 by ADC. There's no new charges. Fender was returned back to custody on 4-4-2018 with an adjusted release date of 11-6-2018 with 49 abscond days. Current conviction, 2015, burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 2008, burglary tools possession, 6 months. 2013, aggravated domestic violence, 1 year. This is his third term in ADC custody with a CUIR score of 3-4. He has a mental health score of 2 with a substance abuse score of 2. There is no STG information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2008, TIS release completed 3 months. 2013, TIS release absconded, arrested, and revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary moderate with disobeying orders and theft noted. Other arrest. 1999, theft, Arizona juvenile probation. 2002, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, simple assault, Arizona, adjudicated, delinquent. 2007, burglary third degree, was dismissed. 2007, burglary tool possession, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2010, domestic violence, Arizona felony conviction, probation. Fender has a GB score of G6, B6. Give me just a minute, I will confirm whether or not he was arrested in office or by... He was arrested by the Criminal Investigations Unit in Tucson.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Mr. Alvin, I'm going to go over a summary of the case supervision at this time. You were appropriately resolved with your parents on, was it Perita Road in Tucson? And their address was approved. So you went there on the PO route because you were working. But there was 49 of scan days, so during that 49 days, why didn't you make contact with your PO or try to work with him because you missed that face-to-face?
I mean, I don't know how much longer they're gonna be here. I think we live in for a time, maybe 5 years from now. I don't know. And being here is more stressful for them. And I want to do it in better for myself. And I must have a law that's secure. Kind of like partial to the community trying to, yeah, I'm trying to work with you, but at the same time, just trying to make them take medication together. Saying this is almost 15 years old, he's telling me I'll take the medication, go to school, and he was gonna violate me, so it's like, you're not even trying to, like, help me out, you're just trying to make things worse for me, that's putting my hands, I don't even need. All I want is to be able to get out of work. That's all I want. And I got two jobs. Two birds, two jobs. Not too many people do it.
No, but you were released before you were in your prison sentence on the community supervision, and you signed a conditions of release form that said that you would you follow all the instructions given to you by your PO, and you make the contact, everything like that, and that you would stay at your approved residence. Now, you didn't follow any of those rules. You missed the face-to-face. And according to this, you left the letter at that time saying that you needed to report into it, and you never reported into it. And then your sister said you weren't, hadn't been staying at your, with your parents for quite a while, a few weeks. So where were you staying if you weren't staying with your parents?
I was staying basically out in the streets because I needed to work. And my sister, I haven't talked to her. I just had her on emergency contact because I had a problem with the address because my mom and dad's home had got switched over. So I couldn't even make contact with them for the whole 2.5 years of I was in ABC until like almost 3 months before I was getting out. Now I worked hard to stay out of public prison so I could get my TR. You know, they sent me back to the floor, but they took my no time away and I ended up getting that back. So I was just trying to be good, better for myself. I'm doing for me, not for nobody else, you know. And that was basically the only address that I could put with my parents. I had nobody else to go to.
Okay, well, you also missed two of your UA drops, too.
I dropped the UA, I missed it. You can go drop next day, I was going to drop it. It was negative. I told him I was weak to us. I came out negative, and then it came out positive. The second one, it was not even.
Well, you did do one drop, but you missed two. So you got one third of them. Okay, let me see if my friend Vivian has any questions at this time, sir. Any questions? Oh, Mr. Turner, you have no information for us.
I have a couple of entries that were entered by his parole officer that I feel is relevant to comment on, and I will read it verbatim.
Okay.
On 3/27/2018, he spoke with Justine Rollins, who stated that she was attacked by the offender at the offender's previous approved residence, stated that she escaped from the offender and was able to get back into her car. She sustained minor injuries. She drove off and called 911. Case number is 1-800-322-160. Her address is 7971 South Muddy Creek. Her phone number, I'll delete that just because. This happened on 3/22/18. She states that he works at a car shop on the northeast corner of 6th Avenue and 6th Street. On 4/3/18, he was contacted by the offender's sister, Andrea Larson, who called him, stated that the offender continues to bother her parents. She states that the offender is staying at her other sister's house, Alessandra Allegra's house, which is located on 1210 East 26th Street, Tucson, Arizona. She states that the offender walks around the area of the park and 22nd, claims that he's looking for drugs and that sometimes he's driving in a white truck, that she did not have a current phone number for him, which is probably how CIU was able to make contact and arrest him.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board at this time? Thank you. All right, so we're going to be in your hearing. So we're going to be going into discussion to make a determination in a couple of minutes. Before we get into it, I'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Give us any other information you think might be pertinent to our decision, but we ask that you don't repeat information that we already have or that you've already given us, okay?
The only thing I want to ask you, I can't, because one of the reasons they had their modification, my base, we got sooner than that, because my wife said my parents were elderly, and they have nobody living with them at this time.
Okay.
I'm gonna be out there with them.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. The board will be in a discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves, we ask you to remain silent. If you think we're addressing you, we'll be talking amongst ourselves. Under the meeting lodger, entitled to listen to the entire discussion and our decision. So stay on the phone there, and I'll be back with you in a couple minutes, okay? Okay, what is that discussion? Well, this is one of those unfortunate situations, which I even think that Mr. Hallelujah was quite willing to follow out the rules. Last time, in 2017, he was out on community supervision, and he absconded. So this time, it seemed that the information coming from his parents and his sister are conflicting with his version of the story, and it sounds like there's really more to it than what we really have in our package. But based on all the information, and like I said, I think that Mr. Palomir is not really, wants to work with him, is committable, and understand that he has to follow all the rules of his community supervision, or he's not happy out there. So at this time, I don't think he's a good candidate to return to community supervision. I want to listen to discussion for a minute by fellow board members this time. More discussion. Okay, based on all the information, we're number 2018W0511, and the testimony of Mr. Alvira, the information from the Department of Corrections, and Mr. Kerr. I'm going to move to revoke community supervision of Mr. Alvira as an delinquent while in terms of initial supervision and high loss of about lapse in criminal areas in company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion on myself, second by Ms. Johnson, moved by Dr. Wright, and Mr. Canales. Mr. Alvira, the board that I voted to revoke your community supervision at this time, you will be released on or about November 6th of 2018 and won't wrestle with other probation or other charges. These particular charges will be over with and won't have the Department of Corrections to deal with. However, it sounds like you will maybe some things working with another person out there, so we might want to try to stay aware of whether anything comes about or not. But like I said, unless there's something there or probation we don't know about, November 6th of 2018, you should be faced with the Department of Corrections. And go out there and work as many jobs as you want without having to answer. So basically, you answer anybody but yourself, but you do have to follow the rules of society so you don't get in trouble again. Okay? Understand? All right, thank you very much, and this is Linda Hill, and please put the CO3 back on the phone.
That's right. We take a 2 minute break.
Yes, sir. We're going to take a 2 minute break.
We're going to do this one. It's
almost kind of hard. I looked up there and thought that said four.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope we'll be out of here today.
Well, I don't want to say anything that jinxes.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. What is your name, sir? Wait a minute. Talk a little slower. Now, what's your name?
I think there's something wrong with the volume on that end.
Yeah, something's wrong with the volume on that end. Tell me again your name, sir. Let me see if I can. A little slow.
Dale Rimple.
Okay.
13924.
Joseph is your first name.
That's me. Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Give us just a few moments. The board members will be back in about 2 minutes, and we'll be ready to go, sir. So just hold on to the phone.
Who's this? Joseph Dale Ripper, DALRYMPLE. So we have up there, so. When you get ready, sir.
Mr. Borchman, could you turn up their side of the volume? I think it's pretty low.
How do I turn up that side of the volume?
There's ours and then theirs, that little high room.
It's one of those that turns by up in here.
We're already up in here.
Is it already up? Okay, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you state your name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Joseph Yalrymple, 13924.
Well, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, you too.
You're appearing to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the community supervision. This hearing is regarding the two alleged violations listed on your warrant arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on April 18th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, sir, that's fine.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. This afternoon, we're authorized for a four-member panel. We can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with me because I'm the individual closest to you. My name is Louis Quinones and I'll be serving as the hearing lead. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. And on the far side of the bench is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also present in the room is our committee directing officer, Mr. Turner. And he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in, so Mr. Dalrymple and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Mr. Dalrymple, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. The reason why we give you this third option is because according to the warrant, you have a department report number suggesting that you may have a pending charge in the criminal justice system or a new charge. So, because this hearing is recorded, we want to make sure that your rights are protected, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
If you believe that an allegation is false, the board will take further information from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal razor company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number five is demonstrated by your operating a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol. On about October 11, 2017, Mr. Dalrymple, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
I remain silent.
Okay. And allegation number two, violation of condition number two, is demonstrated by a failure to report for a face-to-face contact visit on or about October 24, 2017. That will be as directed on October 23, 2017. You were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Dalrymple, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Dalrymple wishing to remain silent for allegation number one, we'll take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we will come back to you, Mr. Dalrymple, for allegation two. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On 10-12-2017, this officer received an email indicating the offender had been arrested and booked into the Pima County Jail. On 10-11-2017, the offender was observed by Tucson Police Department Officer Russell driving an estimated 40 miles per hour in an area where the posted speed limit is 25 miles per hour. Officer Rumsley initiated a vehicle stop and made contact with the offender, who was the sole occupant of the car. The officer noticed the smell of intoxicants coming from the vehicle. The offender was unable to successfully complete the field sobriety testing. Officer Rumsley searched the offender's vehicle and found a styrofoam cup containing a mixture of soda and some type of alcohol beverage. Officer Bano then arrived on scene and completed a DUI investigation. Offender admitted to Officer Bano that he had been drinking alcohol. The offender was arrested and transported to Pima County Jail, where he was booked for aggravated DUI, license suspended, and revoked for DUI, a felony. The offender was released from Pima County Jail prior to DOC hold being placed.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. I'm going to make a motion and see where the allegation, pardon, see where the votes fall. And this is for the first phase of the hearing, and that is based on Mr. Dalrymple's admission for allegation number two, and based on the information in warrant number 2017W3664, plus information provided by the Department of Corrections on allegation number one, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways for company.
Second.
Murray.
Seconded by Mr. Neal. Agreed upon?
Yes.
Okay, by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Dalrymple, we're going to continue the second phase of the hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our committee corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Well,
thank you. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dalrymple was released from ADC custody on 8-14-2017 and arrested on 4-5-2018 by the Pima County Sheriff's Office on new felony charges of aggravated DUI and driving on a license suspended. was returned back to ADC custody on 4/12/2018 with an adjusted release date of 6/20/2019 with 163 abscond days. Current conviction, 2009 commitment D, aggravated DUI, 9 years. 2009 commitment E, aggravated DUI, 9 years. Prior convictions, 1998, burglary third degree, 2 years, 6 months. 2002, robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2006, aggravated DUI, 2 years and 6 months. This is his fourth term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score is 2, substance abuse score is 3. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1999, TIS release absconded, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2005, TIS release completed 4 months. 2008, TIS release absconded, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, threatening, possession of weapons, drugs, and according to contraband noted. Other arrest, 1996, resisting arrest, Arizona juvenile probation. Also in 96, theft and means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 1996, domestic violence, Arizona juvenile probation. 1991, misdemeanor, other DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. And then he has a few convictions that are unknown of the outcome or have been dismissed. He has a GV score of G5B6. Status of charges are Tucson parole notified that the charges are still open and pending and have been referred to Pima County Superior Court for prosecution.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Dahl. We'll make a quick review of your case and division summary. It looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections to reside at 6640 East 42nd Street, Tucson, Arizona. No other address was requested or approved by the offender. Did you live anywhere else when you were outside of the prison system, sir?
No, I stayed in Arizona.
Very good. Were you working?
Yeah, I worked at PA Custom.
I'm sorry, where, sir?
Martini at Custom.
Okay.
I'm going to work.
Programming notes, you referred to task for the color of the day program with the color gray. You submitted two specimens for testing that were negative as directed by the color line in August and September. You referred to substance abuse and mental health treatment programs at La Frontera. You failed to provide proof of enrollment in the program. So I will ask you, you're missing from community supervision for 163 days. What are you doing during that time, sir?
I worked at the PA Custom full-time, and I had an IOM Superior Court case where I had to report twice a week to pretrial services. So I reported twice a week to pretrial services for criminal for UA and promises and recognizers. I was also involved in the liberal AAA program. I became part of a home group and got sponsored and was running that program, and that was it.
Why did you decide to break up contact with your state parole officer?
To be honest, I was pretty sure he was going to take me back, and I was wanting to spend as much time with my family as I possibly could. I said, I'm glad it's in the validation. I was a new man, and when he knew who I was, I never left my house. I never, I just didn't report to him, which is the same, so.
Okay. And you, usually I would ask what you were doing when the police made contact with you and discovered your absconding warrant, but it looks like that you were stopped and you pled the fifth on that, so I won't ask any further questions.
I was at court and they abandoned the original document on the DUI, so I had to get fingerprinted and photographed in the courthouse, and when that happened, my arrest on the warrant would actually show up in the computer when I was arrested in the court.
Okay,
so I knew I was going to get arrested. I turned myself in.
Okay, you have a history of DUI, so have you done anything to deal with substance abuse or being a repeat offender DUI? Have you done counseling or?
Well, previous to now, no, I hadn't. I didn't respect how sick I am when it comes to alcohol. But even though I was in DOC for 9 years and was in prison, I thought I could drink and be a drug-type people, but I can't. And that's obvious because I just hit 9 years for DUI and got another one. So since then, since my last DUI that I just got,
Okay, so are you attending AA inside the correction system? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, here at Simran, we have AA once a week, and I do attend that. And the AA comes when they can, which is they come from off-site. And when they do come, yes, I do.
Okay, sir, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Turner.
For the record, I wanted to add that his parole officer, he was supposed to report on 10/24/17 and did not. And his parole officer went out to his place of residence and left a non-compliance letter directing him to report on 10/25 by 3 p.m., which he did not report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, again, any questions from fellow board members? Okay, seeing no questions from fellow board members, Mr. Dalrymple, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you feel you need to say?
I just want to thank you guys for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dalrymple. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case in as much that Mr. Dalrymple is beginning to realize that he has a problem with alcohol and is confronted with having some prior DUIs plus a one that is pending, still pending in the court system. He has four times under proper corrections, two of his periods of supervision in which he has gone from supervision. So at its most basic level, I feel for him. I hope that he is continuing to attend AA inside the Department of Corrections, but I'm not seeing him as a suitable candidate for returning this community supervision, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2017-W3664. Our discussion with Mr. Dalrymple, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Dalrymple was delinquent, or if I move to revoke committee supervision as Mr. Dalrymple was delinquent, violated in terms of conditions of his supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a couple of ways or company, inasmuch that he absconded for 163 days and was arrested by the Pima County Sheriff's Office. Seconded by Mr. Neal. Agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Mr. Dalrymple, your supervision has been revoked and will be released on or about June 20, 2019. It's unfortunate that that's such a significant amount of time. It is a matter of months, and we encourage you to continue to seek AA and NA while you're inside the prison system and put together a plan for your safe return to the community. It sounds like you are on the right track right now. And we wish you a productive return. The hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate it if you get the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Ms. Dalton. Thank you.